I love these guys. It feels like family. There's only a couple of places where I've been in ministry for 10 years where I'd consider living. This is one of them, definitely. I'm quite tempted. That's the truth, honestly. Like, yeah, we can make it work. It just, there's something about Melbourne and you guys, this community, the integrity of these guys, the love, the safety, the honour, the culture of honour. It's great. Life flows through honour. And being powerful to make mistakes and not being punished through the removal of relationships, because heaven doesn't work like that. Even like, you know, people try and silence you, but the Lord doesn't even silence Satan. We're so not like heaven. But it's changing. So I believe the culture of honor, I hear George and Banoff say it's the womb of the new move of God, that God had actually like held back a corporate dimension until the culture of honor started to be embedded in us, which is where we keep our love on. Danny Silt teaches on it. It's exceptional teaching. I believe that's as supernatural as gemstones popping out right now. The culture of honor, because we've had tons of phenomena, but we didn't have the culture of heaven. So we used to blow up meetings. Like, I know how to go into like the wildfire. I could preach on the drunkenness and whack you guys up. I could preach on the angelic and that'll open. But like we were seeing all this phenomena, like breakouts on the street, and we were going into churches and just like God was moving, but we didn't understand the culture of heaven. I hadn't thought that heaven had a culture. I thought if we just had your kingdom come, but it's your kingdom come, your will be done. So you can have the kingdom without the will. And a lot of churches have got kingdom without the will. They're not under the government of the fear of the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord's job is the one of the seven spirits that anchors you upwards. That's why it says in Isaiah 11 that Jesus delighted in the fear of the Lord. So it lists all of the seven spirits, but it highlights one of them. And it says that Jesus took pleasure in, delighted in, or had the fragrance of, if you look it up. It's the only word. It's the only time in the Bible where we use the word delight for that. In every other example, we use the word fragrance. So Jesus had the fragrance of the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord locked him into the Father's face, so he saw through the Father and only did what he saw. Because you can have wisdom. Solomon had wisdom, but he still had 1,000 girlfriends. Do you know what I'm saying? Did someone say that was cool? I think I read someone's thoughts. Whoa. So he lost the spirit of the fear of the Lord. He initially had it. And then he began to understand things. And he labored after this. And he looked under everything. He understood it all. He said he designed aqueducts. He could talk about animals, plants. The Queen of Sheba, no question that he asked, could he not answer, until it says her spirit left her. I mean, like, it was like she just was out of herself. I mean, the last thing that popped, it says, was when she saw how they did the cutlery and the table. It was so heavenly. But, you know, he was going off course. But some people think that the Song of Solomon was written towards the end of his life, when he'd gone round everything and come back into the synergy and seen the divine romance. And that he birthed the Song of Songs out of the later part of his life, when he'd seen the romance of heaven. He'd come back under the government of the fear of the Lord. And mystic union, you know. So anyway, I don't know how I got onto the spirit of the fear of the Lord. But yeah, I was just saying that the culture of honor is part of heaven. And we need to have that culture. We need to stop being insecure. Like, I'll give you an example of how it works. It's like we're all allowed to be powerful. So like my little boy Sam was saying something at the table. Josh tried to jump on him and shut him down. I said, no, Sam's allowed to think differently to everyone on this table. What do you think, Sam? And it gives everyone the right to be powerful and not insecure, to think that power isn't you enforcing your will on another. That's weakness. So like one time Sam didn't want to, you know, get out of his pajamas, but we had to go out of the house. And I said, okay, Sam, you're powerful. You can wear your pajamas today, but we're still going out. He ran up the stairs, boom, 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 comes back fully dressed. And half of the things we were trying to manipulate and move, we make people powerful to make choices. We present them with choices, and that's how heaven treats us. And, you know, this culture of damaging one another has to end. This culture of punishing people that think differently has to end. Because how many of you guys have noticed denominationism hasn't worked out well for us? So we can't anchor around truths because truths are changing, but the truth doesn't change, who is a person. Now, if we all anchor around a truth, we'll fight off new truths because our relationships are based then on an agreement around an idea, which means you can't change your idea because that'll change your relationships. So then we fight off new ideas because it threatens our culture. But if we've got a culture where we're all powerful, we don't have to think the same, we don't have to look the same, then we can embrace new ideas because it's not going to threaten our relationship because our relationship isn't based on an idea, it's based on family. This is good. Are you guys hearing me? This is like massive. This is as mystical as anything we can teach right now. I mean, this is where we're fundamentally failing. Like, you know, if they don't approve of Dave and Jen, people back off because it's like, okay, you think different or you look different. Has the father backed off from Dave and Jen? Is the father worried? Is he worried about the fact that we're all thinking differently? He could appear right now and enforce, but love isn't forced. Love is an invitation to journey. To journey is to question, and to question is to journey. We're those that engage the mysteries. So we've got to learn to live in the tension and mystery. And that means not having the answers. Paul put it like this: I was the subject of an incomparable ecstasy where truths too great for human language were imparted to me. Sacred secret, some translations say. In fact, he actually said that the office of what he carried was to be a minister of the secret mysteries of God, that they were carriers of mystic secrets. So culture's changing, and we've got to just allow love, kindness. Love is kind. I am so sad. If anyone here is engaging in Facebook debates, that's not the culture of heaven. Unkindness is not the culture of heaven. Rudeness is not the culture of heaven. Dishonoring is not the culture of heaven. Picking off the wounded is not the culture of heaven. Distancing yourself as a form of punishment is not the culture of heaven. Be heavenly. Whee! Be heavenly. Be heavenly. Because we're in a day of such contrasts and new truths that there's so much infighting, I just don't engage with it. I'm so sad about it. I've been posting a lot recently on Facebook about how love is kind. Do you know why? You know, this is something John Paul Jackson told me. Do you know why Satan thought that he could take out the Father? Because the Father was so gentle. He looked at the meekness and gentleness of this divine being. And I've met the Father, you know, where he's appeared to me in a bodily form. And the spirit of gentleness that comes from him changed me forever. I can still feel it when I think about that encounter. I can feel the atmosphere and power of gentleness. Whoa. So Satan thought that he could take the Lord out. In fact, he thought the Lord would give up. He didn't actually anticipate the fight. It's true. He's mad, Satan, mad. He actually like convinced a whole load of angels that he was right about this. They were actually so convinced that God was going to just give Satan the throne because they saw his gentleness, because love is kind, love is gentle. We got to be kinder. I think we should have a love revolution. I do, like, we've got to, like, fight for love. You know, Danny Silk calls it keep your love on. You choose to love. You choose to be a person that's powerful, not insecure, that's not threatened by people's, you know, we've got a wrong idea about God. God embraced us in our vileness. It wasn't actually God that hid from Adam. People say God can't look at sin. I read a book on it the other day. God can't look at sin. Of course God can look at sin. He's the all in all. He sustains everything by the power of his words. People say, oh, God forsake Jesus at the cross. That actually contradicts the rest of the Bible where it says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Those who have seen me have seen the Father. He was actually quoting one of the Psalms where it talked about us being forsaken, But the psalm that he was quoting from, he read the first line of it so that you'd look up the rest of it and find out that we're not forsaken. He was using an old Hebraic method of speaking a line to make you think of the rest of the poem. It says, God was in Christ. One translation says, hugging the world to himself. So all of these ideas of distance, of delay, and of punishment have gone into our culture, but they're not the culture of heaven. God is patient. God is kind. He loves everyone. He embraces everyone. He doesn't give up on anyone. And he chooses the most unlikely people, like Peter. You know, Peter in one moment saying, you're the Christ, and you got it by the Spirit. In the next breath, he's saying, you can't go to the cross. And Jesus is rebuking Satan. So Satan can speak through a person and the Holy Spirit in one conversation, but that was still Peter the rock on who he was going to use. His mistake didn't disqualify him from his future, even though actually Satan spoke through him. And then he went on to deny the Lord. So how does the Lord respond to denial? He goes and finds him fishing and puts 152 or 153 fish in his net. So he finds him in his mistake, going back to where he was, big mistake, and he actually blesses him in his mistake because blessing brings transformation, punishment doesn't. So what does Peter do? He grabs his stuff, because I puzzled over it ever since I was a little boy, but I think the reason he put his clothes on, it says, and jumped in the water, was like he wasn't going back on that boat. The fish swimming in. Our church culture is, would be rebuke, let's distance ourselves from Peter. Peter's gone back to fishing. He's actually taken all the disciples back to fishing. We can no longer associate with fishermen. And we've got to warn our friends about the fishermen. Instead, Jesus's answer to this is cooking them a breakfast. Standing on the edge of a new horizon, saying heaven wins. And saying, fish in your net, fish in your net. Blessings, life. I've got a friend that's been going through a hard time, and the Lord has shown me in some dreams some of the stuff, and like was making some bad choices and smoking a lot of cigars. The Lord said to me, buy this guy the best cigars. So I was recently in America, and we were in a golf thing, and I saw this cigar shop, so I bought like this collection of just awesome cigars. I don't know what they do. They're different colors and shapes. Who knows, right? And I went back, and the Lord says, that's not big enough. That ain't big enough. That's not like what I wanted this guy to know my love towards him in a time where he's making such bad choices. So I bought him this awesome like lighter that was like, I don't even know what it was. It was like a blue, like... It was like you could light anything with it. I bought him a cutter. I bought him so many cigars, they couldn't fit in a box. And sent them off to him with no strings attached. No need for him to change. They're just saying the Father loves you. The Father's for you. The Father is lavishing his grace upon you. Yay. I'm sick of this punishment culture. I can't do it. I can't trade into it. I don't believe in it. I won't participate in it. It's not the gospel. It's not the heart of the Father. Daddy loves us. Daddy loves us. Daddy loves us. Daddy, God is love. Wow. Wow. So we've got to change the culture, because we can have all the mysticism, but the culture can be wrong. We could start talking about the seven spirits and all the stuff, time, space, and still be punishing, still be withdrawing, still be trading into these platforms that have got no future left in them. There's only one body in heaven and earth, so you can't actually separate. It's just the way you think that you've separated. Ephesians says there's one body in heaven and on earth. We're all united, one spirit in him. So it's an illusion separation. So you're trading into an illusion when you're stepping away from someone. Now, I know there's boundaries. You've got to have safe boundaries in relationships. I'm not saying that you've got to be powerless. I've got right boundaries with different relationships. Yes. Amen. So people will try and entice you into taking sides. Don't do that. Don't trade into taking sides. Facebook is full of this. Do you know that it's like, it's a teenage mindset that's black and white? It's teenage mindset that's ego. It's teenage mindset where I'm right, where it's about me. I can judge you. It's a teenage mindset, an elder mindset when you've fallen upwards and you've had your no-win situations. God needs to release a few more no-win situations on the church right now to make us fall upwards. So that we become elders. When you're an elder, you know it's not all black and white anymore. You know that what you don't know. And now it's not about you being right. It's about finding, what am I made for? What is the container meant to do? And it's not about ego. Now it's about everyone. Now it's about past, present, and future. Now it's about your connection in the strand of time and in the DNA of the Father. Living beyond the temporal. Because, like, let's face it, you know, I see, like, pastors, like, building up their mega ministries in local churches, and, like, they're triumphant and they've got the crowd. But whilst they've been doing that, maybe 1,000 churches have closed. Yeah, they're looking through this tiny peephole thinking, I'm so successful, not seeing that God wants all of humanity to be embraced, that the world's our parish, that he's looking after a species. I hear people in church saying, oh, such and such has just invented this thing, but the church should have done it. And it's like, they've invented something really cool that we should have done. They've done an awesome song that we should have done. That is so bad. But yet you hear it all the time. No, God doesn't teach that we should be doing it. He says humanity. It says he pours out wisdom on everyone. He pours out his spirit on all flesh. Do you think that we're the only people with scrolls? Christians? Do you think that the Lord can't move through someone that doesn't know him? We should celebrate every new invention, every cool song. We should say, yes, there's a hidden divinity in everyone because we're made in the image or shadow of him. We should celebrate success. Yay! I can't stand the church should be doing it. It's spiritual racism. Do you know it's actually the same root as racism? It's just you've changed the language. It's spiritual apartheid. Yay. Woohoo. Is this okay what I'm saying? And I'm just like, yay, spiritual apartheid. And we've done that to the angels and the saints where we've separated them and we've said they're really dirty until death sanctifies us. And then death allows me to talk to them. And that's the church paradigm. That's the thing that we're under. Whoa. Yay. We're death's the hero, like I keep talking about on my messages. We've actually built up a theology of the tomb. Whoa. Hey. Hey. Yay! Woohoo! Yeah! So we think death sanctifies us. So we're allowed to talk to angels once we've died. So death has actually qualified us. Whee! You guys all right? Please don't go quiet. So we need to just change the way we think and stop trading into the illusions. We're all powerful. The truth is we're all powerful. We've all got to have a right to an opinion. And church culture has all been about everybody agrees. I hear people saying churches, what we believe. No, it's what you believe. We all believe what the Lord's revealed to us because we're accountable for what he's revealed, not what you've said. Actually, if they realized this truth, it would remove the pressure. Because like when someone makes a bad choice right now, it's like we take it upon ourselves. But did Adam's choice reflect how good God was as a father? No. So if you want to screw up, that's your problem. You're powerful. You're powerful enough to screw up. All you have to say is, how's that working out for you? How's that working out for you right now? And I've said that to my kids. For years, I was insecure, thinking I've got to make them Christian and Christianese. And now I'm like, I can't make that decision for you. What are you going to do about it? How's that working out for you? There's no reflection on my fathering, because my father is for them. I'll do anything for them, but I won't control and manipulate them. And if they make dumb choices, they've got a right to it. You've got a right to be wrong. You've got a right to make mistakes. We've got to start making mistakes, because you never innovate if you're afraid of making mistakes. Because who actually invented something without doing it wrong first? You know the guy who invented the light bulb? Was it Thomas Edison? He tried 1,000 different materials to make the filament or whatever it was called. He tried everything you can think of. 1,000 attempts, but how much did he change the world? We're so afraid of making mistakes that nothing ever gets created. Nothing's changing. Nothing's evolving. We've got to get rid of fear of change. One of the main things about life is, if you look up the definitions of life, is that life changes. Yes. So I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of innovation, not afraid of mess. Not afraid. You know, Paul said, if I was still pleasing men, I wouldn't be a bond slave of Christ. Jesus said, beware when all men speak well of you. Yay. For that's how they spoke of the false prophets. So Jesus' definition of false prophets is everyone thinks you're great. Ouch. Ouchy, ouch. Yeah, I was just reading an article, Bill Johnson, you showed me, you know, where Bill said that everybody, like, was uncomfortable with Smith Wigglesworth while he was alive. I mean, he was at a funeral once, wasn't he, where he grabbed the body and he was slamming it against the wall in front of everyone. And people in the congregation were going, that's disrespectful. And he's like going, bah, bah. Can you imagine that? That this is a funeral and I grab the body and I'm like slapping it up against the speaker. Oh. Yay. Amen. So we need the culture of honor. We've got to fight for the culture. We've got to fight for the culture. As much as we're fighting for mysticism and all this stuff, we've got to fight for a culture of honor where we're powerful. It is painful. I mean, Danny Silk says it's like horses with big butts. He says there's like a lot of shoulders. He says there's a lot of crap. There's a lot of rubbing together. But the Bible says much supply comes by the strength of the ox. It says when the stalls are empty, there's no harvest. So we've got to have like powerful people that rub shoulders, friction. A real cool culture of honor will have a lot of friction in it. We've had some great talks in our team. But we're not insecure. We're not damaged by it. Because we love being powerful. We love being able to challenge one another. I pulled my guys up so hard, but they are growing into such powerful people. Ah, thank you, Father. So you guys are innovating a new culture. I'm so sorry that people have been unkind to you. Love is kind. What a shame. Ah, thank you, Father. I feel the compassion, like I get moved. Just, it's wrong, guys. We can't do it anymore. It's not worked for us. We can't be unkind. I can't believe what people are posting on Facebook. I really can't believe, just because we're behind a screen. You know the Bible says that we'll have to give account for every word? Being behind a computer screen hasn't insulated you from the courts of heaven. And so many people are judging on situations they know nothing about. Yeah, so I stay quiet about a lot of controversies. I could easily get my blog to just be mega by just mentioning certain key phrases or certain people and have influence. I don't want that. I want to be hidden here, revealed there. The influence I'm looking for is not of this world. You know those websites are all going to pass away. You know church buildings are going to pass away. You know our church names are going to pass away. Do you know your name's going to pass away? It says you're going to have a new name, so get over it. So my name Justin's just a temporal manifestation of my scroll being expressed on the earth in a tiny part of my life. Ooh, what time's lunch? What? 12:30. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the culture of honor, the culture of heaven, the culture of life, a culture that's not insecure. Insecurity's got to go. We got to mature. We got to grow up into the head. There's a lot of headless churches at the moment. They've got buff bodies, really toned, but no head. Christ is the head of the church. Do you know we're not even prophets of the church? Most of the prophets that I come across are prophets of the church. They actually prophesy according to the paradigm of the body that they're in. We're actually the prophets of Christ, which means we represent fully what he wants to say. They don't like those type of prophets because they're not going to tell you what your ears want to hear. Thank you for real deal prophets. Bring them, Lord. One of the most prophetic people I know is a guy called Martin Scott in England. I value him so much. And whenever he's come to us, I've always said, Martin, in front of everyone, I said, you've got permission when you're speaking today to, as much as to you're encouraging us, as to spank us. This is another difference between teenagers and elders. Teenagers don't understand the person that pushed them to train hard and become who they are, the head teacher that was difficult. Elders look back and go, wow, thank you for the tenacity of that person that shaped me and bullied me into who I'm supposed to be. And it wasn't bullying. You see, an elder sees it differently. They see through a different lens. A teenager's like, why are you trying to make me do my homework? Why are you so unfair? I've been on my computer for 5 hours, that's all. You want me to do the dishwasher? It's going to take so long. And the plates are so heavy. I know this because I've got 4 kids. I'm right in the thick of it, believe me. I'm living this world. But I'm living it from a different place to how I was years ago because I've realized that they're powerful and I'm not afraid. I'm going to keep my love on and embrace them because my love isn't based on their behavior anymore. It's not conditioned on their response. They don't have to fulfill my criteria because God, yet when we were his enemies, Christ died for us. He's not afraid. We should not be afraid. We should not be afraid. Ho, 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 ho. Wow, yay. Yay. Daddy loves us so much. Daddy loves me. I don't even need your approval. It's awesome. It's great. Whoa, it's so good. This is the freedom that we need. We're approved by God. We're approved by Father. Papa God defines us now. Not what people think about us, what people think is irrelevant. Hey. Jesus said, I came to fulfill the words that were written in the books about me. There's a book written about you that you're supposed to fulfill. If you truly will live in convergence with your scroll, people won't understand what you're doing because it's a different scroll to what's been written for them, a different book, a different narrative. So you've got to break from the pack to really fulfill who you're supposed to be. Thank you, Father. Okay, I think I'm done talking about culture. Thank you, Father. Maybe we'll stand up for a second because I'm just going to get into some stuff. Father, I just pray right now that we'd receive a new culture. I know it's hitting against programming. And we're like worried, well, what that will that mean? What will that mean? It will mean life flows through honor. It will mean that we're all powerful. It will mean that you get to be you and I get to be me. It means that it's not your fault if people make dumb choices. It means you're free to make a dumb choice too. It means you're free to be redefined and innovate. It means you don't all have to agree to be friends because you're a family. It means you get to have a different opinion to me. And it means you might be right and I might be wrong. And it means that there's kindness. Kindness. We've got to fight for kindness. Kindness. Love is kind. Love is gentle. A bruised reed he wouldn't break. Joshua Mills posted recently, and it was a great post on Twitter. I don't know if you guys know Joshua Mills. He said, you can't heal someone by throwing them under a bus. That seems quite relevant where I'm standing right now. Since when has that been God's healing blueprint? Is that when people make mistakes, when they screw up, Jesus did not throw Peter under a bus. He saw that he was going to be such a man of courage. That even though Satan had spoken through him in one sentence, God had a bigger purpose for him. And Jesus wasn't intimidated by Satan slipping something through his mouth. Wasn't intimidated by him being denied by him. Put those fishies in his net. And Peter became the rock that he always was. He was always a rock. Ah, thank you, Father. We pray today for a new culture here in Melbourne, in Australia. A cultural reformation, a revolution. A revolution. A throwing out. Revolution actually means a throwing out of one form of government and a replacement with another. And we want the government of love because the ecclesia is the community of love. It says they'll know that we're Christians by our love that we have for one another. A deep love. God said to me recently that I'm releasing, as much as I'm releasing an addiction to my presence, I am releasing an addiction to one another. Like you'll want to hang out together. You're going to fall in love with one another. It's this new idea that God's come up with. Love. Where we actually love one another, where we actually hang out together, we watch movies together, we have takeaways together. He's restoring the love feast. Yeah, it says they met in each other's homes. They couldn't stop hanging out together. God's reforming what it looks like. We're going to be so addicted and the clouds come in again. We're going to be clothed with the cloud every day. The glory will be on a small group and a big group. It'll be the same clothing. We'll go to bed like kittens and wake up like lions, clothed in the cloud. And this presence will be on us every day. In fact, we'll be so used to it that God will sometimes lift it off us. So we'll go, oh, that's what it feels like not to be in it. And then he'll put it back on. And we're going to be addicted to one another. We're going to love one another. And not be of trading into accusation and agreeing with the wrong courtroom. You know, you can land two types of scrolls out of the court. You can land the demonic scroll or the father's scroll, depending on which one you agree with. Hey. So, Father, we're asking for change of culture, change, culture of honor, a culture of love. Lord, we embrace the pain of love. Hey. Thank you, Father, that love covers. It's okay. Love covers. Love covers. Love covers. Love covers. Love covers. Love covers. Woo! Love covers. Love covers. Love covers nakedness. Love covers mistakes. It's a cover-up. Whoa. Hey, woo-wee. Thank you for love, Lord. Expand our hearts with love today. And I just want to say, let's just release forgiveness for all the injustice. Lord, one of the prayers John Sanford has taught me is to say, they owe me nothing. I owe them nothing. All debts are cancelled except the debt of love. Let's just do a debt cancellation right now. Because if you've been a Christian for a while, you've experienced the culture of dishonor. And you've probably actually been the creator of the culture of dishonor and a propagator of it. And that's where we agree with our accuser, that we're all in the same place right now. But we know there's no future in that. There's no future in dishonor. There's no future in disunity. Disunity is an illusion. So, Father, today, Lord, I just release forgiveness in the spirit, in the courts, towards everyone that has hurt me, whether willingly or unwillingly. I forgive people that have spoken against me. I honor them. I say they owe me nothing. And I ask in the courts right now that they would be forgiven, that you'd remove the record, because you said that if we forgive, they'll be forgiven. So, Lord, for everyone that's offended me, I want the record removed from heaven. I want the words removed from heaven so that when they stand before you, there'll be no record of it, because I have stood powerfully as a powerful person with the power that you've given me in the courts of heaven to say, I forgive you, I release you, I count it not against you. It's cast out of sight as far as the east is from the west, so far is it removed. And I ask that you forgive me where I have traded into criticism, where I've traded into judgment and dishonor and comparison and teenage mindsets. Lord, forgive me. I've been a major teenager. My ego's been as big as a house, Father. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for having a teenage egotistical black and white mindset. Hey. But Lord, I want to be like you. I want to walk like you. Talk like you. An ape like me can be human too. I want to be like you. Oh, I want to walk like you. Talk like you. Ooh. Way, hey, da 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 bam bam. Do 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 do. It's a weird courtroom, heaven, just to let you know, in case you haven't figured it out. Yay, thank you, Father. So, Lord, we say we're going to keep our love on. Love suffers long. Love is kind, it's gentle. It is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking. Love always trusts, love always hopes, love never fails. Let our legacy be that of love. Thank you, Father. Wow. Just soak in his love right now. Yay. Yay. Thank you, Lord, that you're our greatest encourager. That we're going to be like David, who strengthened himself in the Lord. I just say, people owe me nothing. They can't fulfill the Father hole in you. No one can fill that up for you, only the Father himself. You are wired for the Father himself to be your encourager, the Father. And you're meant to just overflow, not draw out of people. You overflow the Father everywhere you go. The Father's in your eyes, the Father's in your house, in you, in your body. Christ in you says, I will come and live in you with the Father. I'll bring the Father and he will come and make his home in you. Hey, 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 hey. Yay. Yay. When the harvest comes, will they see the Father in your eyes? Will the Father occupy the house? Hey. It's going to be messy. It ain't going to be clean and tidy. Daddy, 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 Papa, love you, Daddy. I love you, Daddy, the Father. I've got a daddy, I've got a father, I have a dad. Daddy. When we have the heart of the Father, our hearts will be so big that we can swallow nations. And we will not look just to our ministry success. We will look for the transformation of nations. We will not look for our church. We will look for the transformation of a city, of a nation, of a government, of a people. And we'll hold everyone in our hearts. We'll hold the world in our hearts. We'll hold the world as our parish. We'll have big, expanded hearts. Hey, massive hearts, expansion of our hearts right now. I want you guys to just become the Father in the city and hold the city in your heart now. Expand it over all of Melbourne, that everyone you see is your children. Because if you see through the Father, they're just kids. Every person you walk past in the streets is one of your kids. I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And then the children will turn to the fathers. You've got to have a father's heart for them to come. It's got to be seen through father's eyes that they're just children. They're just children, and that you've got the heart of daddy. You've daddy's in you, loving the world to himself, hugging the world to himself. Beautiful love. Powerful love. Ah, the wonder and holiness of love. Love, a life poured out. Not poured in, a poured out life, an outpouring, an outflowing. Yeah. Woo. Loving not our lives unto death. Woo. Owning nothing but the one thing that counts. Father, as Abraham said, you are my inheritance, you are my reward. He is the reward of the upright. Father, daddy, 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 daddy. Wee. Thank you, Father. Just let the Father come and touch you. Let Papa come and touch you. He's the most gentle person. The spirit around him is the most profound gentleness you can imagine. Just let the gentleness of the Father come. The kindness of the Father. The Father's kind. He's kind. He's gentle. He loves you so much. So, so much. Just receive the Father's embrace. Do you know you can hug the Father? Ian Clayton taught when he was here, I think, didn't he, on embracing the presence. We just embrace the Father now. We hold the Father in our hearts. We love you, Father. We love you, Father. Come and live in me. That it's not me, but you. It's you. It's you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Daddy, Daddy, forgive me, Father, for trying to derive my security and affection from others when only you could truly satisfy me. No human was capable of filling that shape inside me. Forgive me where I've dishonored people when they haven't fulfilled my needs and my expectations, when only you can supply all my needs. And I had you all along, and I believed in an illusion. Forgive me for believing, Lord, an illusion when I have the gift of God. I have completeness. In Christ, I've obtained fullness. And I draw on you. I draw on you. Make me a target of your love, Lord. You're looking for targets, love targets. I say, Lord, I'm a target. I paint a target on my heart. I say, give it your best shot, Daddy. I know how much you want to love. I know that you can't help yourself. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. Daddy. Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Wee, see, I'm strengthening myself in the Lord. I've had a drink that has caused me to believe. I'm enjoying my co-crucifixion right now, my co-resurrection, my cocoa. I'm drinking my cocoa. Daddy. Daddy. Whoa. 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 Just give you permission to enjoy God. I know this is an unusual concept, but you were made for pleasure, and at his right hand of pleasures forevermore. You thirst, he's the drink. Come on. Daddy. That's it, just engage heaven. This is school, we're engaging. Teaching you how to be strengthened in him, how to enjoy him and enjoy your life, to play with the Father, enjoy the Father, to be loved. Hey, Daddy. Daddy. Woo. Daddy. Woo. Daddy's going to get you. He's going to track you down. Daddy. Oh. Yeah. Wee. Woo, 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 woo. Yeah! Yeah! Wah! Ooh-wee! 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 Mm. There's no law against this. You know that, don't you? I can hear you. Yay! Against such things, there is no law against joy. And even making joyful noises. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Yay! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Yay! I'm not doing anything wrong here. Whoa! Whoa! Hey, you know that play is an end in itself. You know that, yeah? You know it's okay to go and play golf, but play with God? Oh, sure. Whoa. Whee. It says that God made creation out of play. It says wisdom played with him at the beginning. I hear John Arnott preach on when I was in Toronto, because we went to the school there. He preached on God being the God of play, and that play by definition is doing something for enjoyment that you don't have to do. So he played with wisdom when they made everything, because he didn't need to make it. Ah. So it's playtime. C.S. Lewis said, play, dancing, music and these kind of things. He says, on the earth, they're all considered frivolity or truancy because he says they're not from here. So if I'm not human, I got to start acting like the place I'm from. We're not meant to mirror earth to earth. We're meant to mirror heaven. We are the mirrors through which people gaze. Are you a picture or a window? I want to be a window. I want people to look in and see. Hey, 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 heaven, I'm a mirror. Whee! Wah! If I'm besides myself, it's all God's fault. The ecstasy's for him. Ooh. Wee. Come on, guys. There's a frequency and a sound that creation's waiting for, a frequency that comes from us. The frequency of life and immortality to remove the record of decay. Way. So you've got to have a voice. Around the throne are many voices. It's not this kind of nice, polite worship arena. It is full of crazy. There's actually, I know this is kind of strange, but there are cartwheeling angels. It's true. There's a lot of bizarre stuff around the throne, real bizarre stuff. And God likes it that way. So I think we've got to become like heaven. Thank you, Father. Well, I think Father's done what he wanted to do for this time.
A taste of your breath, a drink of your wine, ecstasy of love. Taste of your breath, a drink of your wine, ecstasy of love. Taste of your breath, a drink of your wine, ecstasy of love. I'm in love.